Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats, silence your cell phones, for you are now listening to Much Ado About Wrestling!
Welcome, fair listeners, to Much Ado About Wrestling, the show where Wednesday night's all right for fighting. I'm one half of your scholarly presenters, Andrew Terrence Caberline, and with me, as always, is primetime Tyler Ward. Tyler, how are you?
Woohoo! I'm good, man. Is that when you came up with the primetime thing, was that primetime Elix Skipper? Because that's where I'm thinking of the prime time.
Wow, Elix Skipper. I haven't thought about Elix Skipper in a long time. New wrestling fans should just Google him, and I'm sure the first thing that comes up
is that cage.
The cage walk, yeah. Yep. No, I was thinking of primetime Deion Sanders, I guess.
Oh, wow.
But I mean, just primetime in the sense that...
Just primetime, man.
A bunch of shows and organizations that weren't in prime time are about to be.
He's just prime time, like 8 o'clock central on cable television or something.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I meant, really. because this is a very special episode of Much Ado About Wrestling. We're kind of abandoning our normal segments to really just talk about...
Like we do many times. But.
Yeah, like we do a lot. Well, sometimes we'll make up a new segment, and this is like a segmentless show. This is less focusing on our teaching of wrestling history and more based on the wrestling now, because there are big enough things going on that I feel like we have to document them for science.
History is now.
Yeah. The biggest news is that we are about to have a Wednesday night war going on. I mean, in that sense of having two major American companies be on major television networks and have programming that is directly in the same time slot against each other. That hasn't happened. Also, because this is a special episode, I'm not even going to edit out all those cats.
They get to stay.
Yeah, get lucky, or get ready for all of these cats if you're a cat lover. So yeah, we have two shows that are going to be in the same and or similar time slots. They'll be overlapping, and that is NXT making its big move from being a truly developmental brand slash the independent label of WWE to, and existing on the WWE Network, to being a two-hour live show in prime time at 8 p.m. on the USA Network.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And, man, did Bo have a lot of feelings about that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited for a few reasons. It's change, and, like, you know, change can be scary for a lot of people, a lot of fans. But generally, you know, it could lead to bigger and better things. I'm excited for NXT to have more time weekly. You're going to be able to see a lot more people more frequently, which is always a good thing, I think. Hopefully, given that, and we'll talk about this more later, that Triple H is in theory still going to have like the final say in everything, we're going to see a lot more wrestling, which is great.
It's interesting because it's a lot of change in the wrestling landscape writ large, even though Triple H has been, as the head of NXT, been preaching that things will not change. That's kind of like his been his stump speech. But, you know, the last time, there's only been two times in our lifetime, Tyler and I, where there has been wrestling programming that went head-to-head. The infamous Monday Night Wars from the mid to late 90s into early 2000s when WCW Nitro and WWE Monday Night Raw went up at the same time slot. And that is a fabled thing that we can't even do one episode about it. We are going to have to do multiple to do it justice. So there was that. And then there was a brief time in the 2000s, 2010s, where Impact Wrestling on Spike TV went up against Monday Night Raw. And it can't really call it a war. It's more like a rebellion because it ended quickly and was not really a thing.
Yeah, it was. They tried, and it was, they really shouldn't have. It was bad timing on everything, and it just didn't work.
So now with AEW going on Wednesdays up against NXT, we're going to have the first head-to-head competition, and this is the beginning of a very different looking time in wrestling, because also you have NXT starting tonight, because today is Wednesday.
Yep.
And so you have that on USA, and then in a few weeks we have AEW on Wednesday, and then we also have SmackDown moving to Fox, where in WWE will have to be catering to two actually opposing networks. So a lot is about to change, and for the first time, you know, wrestling fans love being able to predict and say, like, we know what's going to happen, and this is truly a time where no one really knows what's going to shake out.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think, like, people in WWE included, I feel like there's no way for them to know.
Wrestlers,
exactly.
Backstage, everyone. Yeah. No one knows what's going to happen.
I don't think they can really predict exactly how Fox and USA will react to the way that their program is going to go. But that's neither for here or there, because we're really focusing on NXT today.
Well, we will have so much time to talk about AEW and the new SmackDown and stuff coming up.
Yeah, because we're going to have a draft in a few weeks, too.
I should say
that they're really good. Like, the most real draft is going to happen. So we know a few details, a few facts for sure about the new NXT that I feel like we should lay down.
Okay.
So we're all on the same page. They are going to, at least for the time being, continue to tape at Full Sail University, their weekly home.
Which, I mean, I'm all for. I think I said it on the previous episode or something. I think the Full Sail location is so vital to the feel that NXT has, like the atmosphere that it creates.
Yeah.
And it's something that, for people, you know, like you and I have been watching NXT for years now. It's such like the smallest thing that makes it really stand out from the Raw or SmackDown product, but in a good way. I think the smaller, more intimate spaces sometimes really allow you to feel the vibe of the crowd so much better. Even though it's a smaller crowd, you don't have 16 to 20,000 people in an arena. Sometimes you can feel the excitement and that rush so much better.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. It's almost counterintuitive that, you know, I had a bunch of roommates who would never on their own volition watch wrestling. And I think the bigger arenas and all of the production value can sometimes be overwhelming for new fans. Mm. And I was able to convince all these people to watch NXT week to week. And I think it was easier to digest, too. Mm-hmm. And it really has been the best gateway to non-wrestling fans to become wrestling fans.
Yeah.
So we know that they're staying in Full Sail for now.
For now. But still, good news.
Yeah. We know that Triple H has said in a bunch of conference calls that Vince won't have a bigger role in the producing of NXT than he does currently, which right now is more of just to like check in and be like, hey, is it going good? All right, cool.
Great.
We know that NXT's roster will not be involved in the upcoming draft in a few weeks that will make hard and set SmackDown and Raw rosters. So NXT won't be involved in that. That doesn't necessarily mean that there won't be one or two people who, I don't even want to say called up anymore, but it doesn't mean that there won't be anyone from NXT who will move to one of those brands, but NXT will not be like having draft picks.
Right. Yes.
And we know that the takeover events will move from being on the same weekends as the other, you know, air quote main roster pay-per-views. So they did this once earlier this year with Takeover Connecticut, where it was a totally independent of everything else that was going on in the WWE canon, and that seems to be what they're going to do from now on. So beyond that, everything else is up in the air. So today we're going to run through some questions, some hypotheticals, and try to talk them out and see if we can figure out what NXT is going to be. So the first question that we're going to go with, question number one, is what will a live 2-hour NXT look like?
Personally, I think it's going to look fairly similar. I don't think they're going to change in terms of like the where the audience is in Full Sail. Like, I think they're still going to have that hard camera side from the like the left with the stage ramp to the right.
Yeah,
I don't think any of
inverted
that's going to change
from the rest of WWE programming.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to change. I think that. You'll be able to tell with like the audience because they're not going to have to, because the way that NXT runs now, they tape like four or five episodes in a row, which is four mm-hmm. to 5 hours of wrestling. But then also if, you know, they need to redo segments or things like that, it could, as we were just talking about how filming can easily turn from a 4-hour yeah. day into a 10-hour day.
Sure, like, sure can. Yeah.
So I think the audiences themselves are going to be a lot livelier. Which is great for NXT. I mean, they already have such a great audience in that Full Sail arena, so that's going to be a plus.
Yeah. I think that that means also that potentially, as good as the NXT crowd is, there's also some policing and problems they have where maybe some of the people who are there every week are not actually good for the show.
Yeah. Tall, bald yeah. guy with glasses.
Yeah.
That guy, he's there like all the time.
So maybe this will change that up because you can't be there every week. But then again, there is that guy with the goatee and the face shirt that is front row and center of every WWE
pay-per-view. Yeah, that's true.
So I want to know what that guy's job is. I want to know how much disposable income he has.
I don't know if this is true, but I heard. So basically, there's this weird thing like at all the a large number of the. WWE pay-per-views and NXT pay-per-views, there's this one guy who is always like camera side front row or yeah. like two rows back or something like that.
He's got
always
a hat and a goatee.
And so yeah. like throughout the internet wrestling community, there's this like people like, who is this guy? Why is he always here? Like, does mm-hmm. he have a job? How can he afford this? And I'm pretty sure once I heard that people suspected that he was either the son or the relative of like someone very high up in the company and like just loves wrestling, and they were like, okay, well, we're gonna put him front row every show. That was one idea. Another idea,
I feel like if that were true though, then they like as soon as people started realizing it mm-hmm. then they would have put a stop to that.
Maybe because right? I think I assume the dude like has like an Instagram or a Twitter where like people follow him as that wrestling guy or something like that.
Yeah,
but
I don't want to plug it though. I don't care that much.
It's just like one of those funny things about wrestling that like people notice. But mm-hmm. no, yeah. So I mean, he'll be there. That's not changing.
yeah, that won't change. It will be live.
Yes.
And that is maybe the biggest instant change that there will be. And I think you'll see it not just in the ring, but also in commentary, where mm-hmm. people forget that that's a show where they can also tape the commentary live once in the room and then go back and do punch-ins
yeah.
and script stuff. And that's going to be different mm-hmm. Week to week. Although their commentary team, I think, will be fine with live television, as they seem to be during the takeovers.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think NXT has the best commentary team in WWE right now. I mean, Mauro is just, like, the best, really.
Yeah.
And I really love Nigel. I think he's great. Even, I think, is Percy still on there?
Yeah, Percy's been pretty good.
Percy's pretty good. Like, for the very few things that he does say, like, he's always great and entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they're gonna make that team smaller? Because I've heard a potential rumor that their WWE is going to be shifting towards two-man commentary teams again.
I'd be cool with a two-man team there, mm-hmm. but maybe they just like rotate between the three of them all the time, or like give one of them more of a backstage interviewer kind
yeah.
of feel too. Because okay. I don't feel like, I mean, Percy's the odd man out of those
yeah.
three, but I feel like Nigel and Mauro could be too similar or boring.
Yeah, just having the two of them. I think yeah. Mauro's going to be on the commentary regardless because, like, he's just that good.
Yeah.
But, like, in a weird way, I think Nigel could actually be more entertaining as like a backstage guy, like doing stuff
as a
like
manager.
That. Like yeah. just seeing Nigel McGuinness get to like interact with the Undisputed Era or something like that. Yeah. I think that would be hilarious. Yeah.
I think that there are going to be immediate hiccups with a lot of the roster being live every week. Even people who are really good, like Velveteen Dream, like part of NXT being a developmental brand is that they wean you into that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now that safety net is going to be gone. The shows are longer and they're live.
And they're live.
So it's a very different beast to try to time out with actual commercials. That's the thing too. Like NXT has never had to deal with
commercial breaks,
and an
stuff.
Actual
yeah.
commercial break. And now they have to get in their sponsors who are paying for the show
at
exactly
true.
The right time and then like come back. And I'm curious to see how they're going to deal with it. I think both them and AEW are going to stumble with that it's going to feel choppy.
Yeah. Because I mean, some of the guys at AEW, I'm sure who worked in the WWE system understand how it works, but like, mm-hmm. Kenny and the Bucks and like all them, like they've never like had commercial breaks timed into their shows or things mm-hmm. like that. So.
And their referees probably haven't either. And they're really the people who are keeping that in line. Mm-hmm. So
that'll be interesting.
I think that's going to be a negative for both out the gate.
Yeah.
How is NXT going to stay special?
It has to stay different from Raw and SmackDown, like, because I mean, just given like how Raw and SmackDown for the longest time have been the like just two different brands on the same playing level, essentially, they're extremely similar. Like the stage itself is only slightly different, like just changing mm-hmm. up some colors and things like that, but every like presentation, the way that backstage interviews are done, the way promos are done, like it's all just exactly the same.
Yeah.
NXT, it because it is coming from a different creative team, it has always felt a little different. The way that their promos, like those similar, like it has that feel of being different, and I think they have to keep that feeling of uniqueness. It's just going to fall into more of the same, especially since NXT is going to be sharing basically the USA Network with Raw still, and Raw mm-hmm. being this long-time established show, like why would anyone be like, oh, what's this new stuff? Oh, it's the same as Raw, but yellow.
Yeah. Some of the ways that presentation is different that Tyler's touched on is the lighting. It is a darker looking show, not thematically necessarily, but it's mm-hmm. a darker show the way it's lit.
It's got a black mat on the ring rather than the gray.
The backstage segments are presented in a much more realistic way. Sorry, there's a cat climbing over everything. The backstage segments are presented in a much more realistic manner. There's more of like a real sports edge because I think most of them do take place in the performance center. They also do a lot more pre-tapes. Pre-tapes are a huge part of NXT's storytelling. Think of all the times that people have got beat up in a parking lot and then aren't anymore.
Yeah. That sparked like entire storylines.
Yeah. They have so much, and by pre-tape we mean something that is a not lived filmed segment that then is played on the show.
But and also mm-hmm. gives them time to edit and do whatever they need to.
Yeah, they have a huge partnership with Full Sail's production students, and the work they turn out is really good. I think about like how many pre-tapes they've done to introduce new characters, which mm-hmm. is not something that the main roster has done all that much in recent years. Bray Wyatt, Firefly Funhouse aside, mm-hmm. they haven't really done a whole lot of these. In NXT, you know, you meet Roderick Strong, who's kind of was a little boring as a character in the ring, but they do these long 10-minute, you know, mini documentaries about like his home situation growing up, and then suddenly you're into him. And I hope that they don't lose those because that is a really strong part of the show.
Yeah.
But when you rely on these with a live show now, it's going to be harder to keep the live audience energetic.
Yeah, I agree. Because, I mean, it's very similar to just the, you know, 5 to 6 minute promo videos that the main roster would show and stuff. But mm-hmm. you can definitely tell main roster at least has started to kind of phase out of that. I can't really remember the last time we've seen one of those like really extensive like documentary style videos of someone, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Which
That wasn't on a pay-per-view. Yeah. I've always loved those. I think they're the real best way to find people that you care about and people that you want to root for when you actually get that, mm-hmm. that window into their real life. But at the same time, you got to stay kayfabe just enough. Like,
yeah, I agree with that. I think that's going to be a really delicate balance for them to figure out. Mm-hmm. The other balance that's going to be really hard to figure out is how long before the show becomes a touring brand.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing that makes it different right now. Mm-hmm. How long can they afford to stay in Full Sail before the audience has to look really different?
I mean, I don't have an answer necessarily. Personally, I think that, again, that Full Sail does so much for them. And, yeah, I mean, it's ultimately you want to build the brand. So you mm-hmm. taking it on the road is the way to do that. You're going to
yeah.
have new people who've never watched, who never had the WWE Network to watch NXT or maybe don't even have USA to watch it.
I will say really quick before you continue this point that Triple H has stated that the goal for NXT is to become a brand that is as strong in revenue as Raw and SmackDown. And yes. If that is really the goal, then they will have to tour.
You
at
have
some
to.
Point.
Exactly. Yeah. yeah. But my counterpoint here is, I think being that NXT right now, yes, it has the WWE stamp on it. It's still a very unknown brand to like the casual wrestling fan. Mm-hmm. Like it was on the WWE Network, but even if you had the network, you'd have to kind of go out of your way to, you know, watch it every week or something like that. So I think putting it on the road, they're doing it the right way in that they're going to film and shoot from Full Sail for a while and then take it on the road. Because if they try to do it now, I think it would be it would probably not the same level, but it would equate to something like an indie wrestling show. People being like, NXT, what's that? I know what WWE is, but like, excuse me. So I think they're doing it right by saying we're going to go on tour at some point, but mm-hmm. now would not be the right time.
Well, it would be easier to go on tour if they had more big marquee stars that could pull in a town.
Yeah.
One of those might be, again, go kayfabe aside, we're recording this on Tuesday night and SmackDown has not happened yet. Mm-hmm. Kevin Owens is someone who's rumored to maybe be coming over to NXT permanently to help mm-hmm. build the initial audience. Triple H said in a conference call that he would sign Kevin if he is, in fact, legit fired from SmackDown, which is something we're going to figure out tonight,
yes,
I believe. So do you think Kevin or other main roster stars will be coming over? Do you think it's the right thing to do?
I think now that WWE, for all intents and purposes, wants to make NXT a complete third brand on par mm-hmm. with Raw and SmackDown, I think they're going to have to at some point. Because NXT is great, but again, they don't have any name brand guys yet. Now, maybe in a couple years, Adam Cole or Johnny Gargano or the Velveteen Dream will be name brand wrestlers, but they're just not there yet. So having a guy like Kevin Owens come over, maybe pulling, you know, an old veteran who everyone knows, like AJ Styles, like that'd be really cool.
Man, AJ would be real. I didn't even think about that until now.
But yeah, mm-hmm. so I mean, I definitely think they are going to be, they're going to have so many more options open to them in terms of where superstars end up. And I think Kevin Owens would be amazing. I would love to see that.
I should mention, it's taken this long to mention this, that this is not the first time that WWE has had a third brand with a weekly television show on a cable network.
Oh, yeah, that we should make that point.
Yeah, this has happened before, and it failed miserably, and it was WWECW. It was their relaunching of a brand that had been dead for a number of years, and they also they immediately started touring weekly, and they tried to bring over some big name WWE stars to be on that brand, including someone who had been there before in Rob Van Dam, and then someone who people just liked and had name recognition, like Kurt Angle.
Yeah,
they were two. The Big Show was brought over pretty early. That was kind of the move, was to bring three people who could sell tickets. Why was that a mistake? And would bringing people like Kevin or AJ over, would it end up that same way?
Well, I know we've hinted at the revamped ECW on this show before, and I think the main issue with that was that they were taking something that was like already established and trying to do it, but in such a different way that it, I mean, honestly, it just like bastardized it in a sense that the original fans who made the original thing that great rebelled against it and didn't like it. Now, granted, there's a lot of parallels there. Like NXT was, you know, it started with this very niche kind of internet wrestling fan base, and it built and built and got bigger. So granted, maybe NXT on cable is not going to be what those original fans want to see. But like there's hope for me in that NXT was something that was started like through Triple H with his vision and like his team of people down there. And it's still going to be that same team. The old ECW, new ECW was a different beast unto itself.
And years apart too.
And years there apart. Yeah.
There was time for people to really long for a thing that hadn't been around, and NXT is literally not taking any days off.
NXT hasn't, and again, like, it because they're still filming in the same location for a little while, like for all intents and purposes, you're not really going to know the difference, hopefully.
We'll see. Problem could be if Kevin is only there for a little bit to continue a storyline on the main roster, it can really cheapen NXT as, like, it would get people to tune in initially, but it would not be sustained, I feel like, if he's just going to bounce back and forth.
Yeah.
How will we know a month in, 2 months in, a year in, if NXT is successful in its move? In the old days, in the original Monday Night War, there was a numerical way to measure this, and it was the Nielsen ratings. And we'll get into how the Nielsen ratings work when we eventually do the Monday Night Wars. But the Nielsen ratings are now an archaic thing that people don't pay as much attention to because of DVRs and because, like, you literally can just record both shows and watch later.
Because, I mean, the actual TV ratings, because it's and it's so weird because, like, there's a lot of, like, wrestling, you know, journalists and people nowadays who still talk about ratings and try to use that as a gauge for whether or not, you know, a show is succeeding, which it just doesn't make sense in 2019. Like in the 90s when the Monday Night Wars were actually happening and you could be like, oh, Raw pulled in 3.5 million viewers and then but Nitro got 3.6 or something, like that's very clear. But nowadays, I mean, an average episode of Raw, if it's lucky, pulls in 2 million. And like,
yeah, they're usually between the 2 and the 3s.
Yeah. It's not a contemporary device to measure that. It doesn't work.
Yeah. And I feel like trying to get stuff out of, like, well, you know, it went from a 3.6 in the first hour to a 1.4 in the second hour when this segment started. You could say, like, well, it's because this segment bombed, or it's like because that's when Monday Night Football's coverage started. Like now, like you before, they only compared wrestling numbers to other wrestling numbers, and now that seems really dumb.
Yeah, definitely. But it, like, in a weird way, though, even though, you know, cable television in general isn't getting the views that it used to. I think that's definitely going to be something that, like, a Vince McMahon is going to look at when, you know, AEW starts up, when they're actually battling head-to-head. I think if Vince McMahon can determine, like, oh, well, you know, NXT got 1.3 million views and AEW only got 1.2 or something, he's going to feel that he's winning, so...
Mm-hmm. I feel like the currency is going to be in SEO, like, metrics. It's going to be in SEO, you know, search engine optimization.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be which thing is having more articles written about it, which one is going to get more segments on daily talk shows on, like, ESPN and Fox mm-hmm. Sports. Like, which one is going to have a bigger reach in the cultural mainstream. And it's hard to just, like... to measure that in the same way as ratings,
mm-hmm.
but you can kind of get a general sense for it. And I think Vince is going to let Triple H try to win that war without any gimmickry at the beginning. And if they feel like they're losing, they can pull their WWE card to, like, be like, we're going to be on the Tonight Show this week, you know? But I'm interested to see if they let it kind of happen naturally to begin with. What this is a getting into ratings again, because NXT's weekly show was a big winner in the weekly views and downloads on the WWE network, and that's kind of how NXT grew in the beginning. Now that it's going to be live on USA Network, what can the WWE do to fill the time slot and to fill that hole of what makes the network special? Because now there's not a whole lot of weekly original programming that's on it.
Yeah. I mean, knowing WWE, they're going to find some ridiculous thing. Like, oh, we're going to give Rusev a cooking show or something like that.
Bad original programming.
So, I mean, that's whatever. Honestly, I think it's gonna affect the network negatively, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people... myself included, would only use the network for pay-per-views and NXT. Occasionally watching some of the other things, but I would never justify having the network to watch, you know, Table for
Swerved.
Three or whatever that was.
Camp WWE.
Yeah, but like I would totally justify having the network to watch NXT and the pay-per-views even, but so I think it could negatively affect the network not having it. They're not having something, a reason to go back to the network weekly rather than just monthly for pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Would you pay more for the network? Or I guess, would you find more value as someone with a network subscription if suddenly they gave Evolve a weekly show or another indie like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't know if I'd watch it personally. Mm-hmm. Just there's already too much wrestling, mm-hmm. but I think it's an incentive, sure. Which that could be a cool thing. They could, you know, give Evolve NXT spot, and maybe that's putting Evolve on the network, still allowing, you know, the kind of like smart internet fan that chance to look at something new. Like, maybe that'll boost Evolve like a step or two up, and like that could be the new NXT, that indie darling that everyone raves about. Like, that could be a thing.
Would you pay an extra $2 a month to have the network plus access to like Evolve and let's say like PWG?
I think if PWG, yes. Yeah. That would be cool.
If it was like Evolve and just two other, like if it was like one pro wrestling and some other like pretty decent indie.
Yeah.
WrestlePro.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's all subjective. It all depends on what you like. I think, I mean, personally, like I wish that NXT was still on the network, like live Wednesdays, which I feel like they'll probably put it up like, you know, a week later or something like that.
I think it's like 3 weeks. Or maybe the 3 weeks. It's going to be the same thing that they do with Raw and
SmackDown. It's on like 3 week delay. Which, I mean, that's fine, but like that's as someone who doesn't have cable and someone who is now has to figure out ways to watch Raw and SmackDown and now NXT and AEW going forward, like the network was so vital in that. So I don't know.
I guess the network definitely will take a hit, but maybe that doesn't matter anymore, where like 4 years ago they put WWE put all of their eggs in the network basket, and that's how they were making their revenue. And now with the Fox deal and then USA coming back at Fox, like now they're making so much ad revenue, like that is their moneymaker, is weekly Raw and SmackDown, that maybe they can afford to let the network kind of take a hit. If you were AEW, if I give you the AEW book, how do you counter program NXT?
I mean, make it feel different, and not different in how NXT is different from Raw. Make it different from WWE product in general. And I think that's going to be tough, because professional wrestling in itself, like, it has so many similarities, and it's not like WWE does things the way they do just because. A lot of the things that they do are because they're the best way to do it. So the way that it's filmed, the way that promos are done, the way that backstage things happen, there's going to be similarities there, but I think making yourself stand out in terms of your talent, how you push them, I guess, you know, like how you book them, and which they're already trying to do, AEW, with the, like, the wins and losses and like how it matters when people enter the ring in AEW. It has the win loss counter in the corner, and I think that's a really cool approach to it. It's new, it's different. I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting, because it's not the same as if like AEW was going up against Monday Night Raw, an established wrestling product on USA Network for like 30 years almost.
Yeah.
It is AEW, which is like new wrestling, against NXT, which is basically new wrestling. So it's going to be, they're starting on equal levels in a weird sense.
Yeah. I feel like I would lean into the win-loss. I would create as many new on-screen rules that are different than other programming. And the win-loss would definitely do it. I don't know what it is, but I would try to do backstage stuff totally different. I would have everyone acknowledge the camera.
Promos directly to the camera. Like, those are always great.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would have
I don't need you looking off in the distance for no reason.
Mm-hmm. I would do more press conference kind of stuff.
Oh, yes.
I would, because, I mean, if their goal is to make it look like real sport half the time and then lean into their ability to do very niche types of wrestling that aren't in WWE. Like, WWE has now indie wrestling in NXT, but they don't have comedy-based matches, really. They don't have like the Japanese style of women's wrestling. They don't have hardcore wrestling the way that AEW has pockets of people who can do all of those. And I think you got to do one match of all of those types every show, and then for the rest of the show, lean into treating it like realistic sport. And that's what's going to make AEW itself, I feel like.
I think
it's easier said than done.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the biggest thing they have going for them right now that can allow them to stand out.
Yeah, I think it's important too. They need to get some mainstream stars to show up for the first few episodes and do stuff like that. I really think they do.
No, I agree. Yeah. I agree. Maybe a CM Punk would be real good.
Oh, that would be great. But I even mean, like, use their ties to the Jacksonville Jaguars, the NFL, even though they don't really have many marketable people on their team. Get Minshew, the backup quarterback, who's just, like, sweeping the nation. Get him out there. You got to use all the connections they have,
yes,
possible to get people in there. And I mean, having people from Hamilton do the national anthem, I thought was a smart idea. Maybe you do that every episode. Maybe you do, you lean into the national anthem as a thing.
Have someone,
honestly, to make it feel more real.
That that would, I think it gives it a bigger sense of, like, you know, pomp and circumstance.
Yeah.
Which, because you get it on pay-per-views, but if you get it every week, like you would at every ball game, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that I think that they've dropped the ball on this is they've not had their most marketable stars getting out and doing press junkets. They we haven't seen Kenny or Chris or Cody show up on non-wrestling shows to be interviewed right now. You got to get them on sports stuff. You got to have them, even if it's just like morning talk shows, like you got to get them.
I want out there. Now I'm just thinking of like what's the weirdest stuff that they can show up on. Like I want Luchasaurus on an episode of Law and Order.
Oh my god. Yeah. I mean, that might be a little undue, but like get them on like MTV, like go to where young people are looking.
Yeah.
I guess that's YouTube and they
have gone
there.
I want Chuck
and
Trent sitting front row at a NBA game.
Yeah. I mean, well, here's an easy one. Why wasn't anyone from, I mean, I haven't watched it, so maybe they could have been there and I don't know, but why isn't anyone from AEW showing up at least in the audience or the step and repeats for like the Comedy Central roast of Alec Baldwin that just happened?
Yeah.
Like, right. they should be going for those kind of, like, markets that have big 18 to 35 male demos.
Mm-hmm.
They should be showing up. They should be on the roast battles. They should be on all of these,
lip-sync,
like, things.
Battle.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. They should have had a AEW-themed episode of Lip Sync Battle because it's on TBS.
Yeah.
Like, it's frustrating. I feel like they had a runway to do a bunch of this before the premiere.
And another thing, and I honestly played with the idea of like maybe we could do a whole episode about this, but they're being the Elite, their YouTube series.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's weird in that being the Elite was in a lot of ways, without their YouTube series being the Elite, AEW would not be a thing.
Yeah.
And I think that they're still relying on being the Elite very heavily in order to get, you know, storylines and things like that across. Like, being the Elite still has a new episode every week, and it's great to tune in because it gives you a lot of like the backstage things that you wouldn't see otherwise. And I think that's great, but again, I think you're absolutely right. They need to lean more into this mainstream sense of like, not everyone is going to go out of their way to watch your YouTube series to, you know, figure out about the show. Like, you need to be on cable. You need to be where young people are going.
Do you think NXT counter-programs AEW and does their own version of being the Elite? Does, like, an NXT backstage YouTube show every week?
I think it would be successful just because wrestling fans are going to want to see what their favorite wrestler is doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would be successful in that sense. It's very possible it could even compete, if not do much better than being the Elite, like right off the bat. So it's interesting. I think it would be a good thing for WWE, but again, I think AEW cannot rely too much on it because I think, and I doubt like this was their plan, but right now it seems very much like they're like, okay, we'll keep doing being the Elite because we don't need to do anything else for it.
Yeah, I feel like it needs to be a segment within the weekly AEW show. It could still be something that they tape and pre-tape and like edit together into a 5-minute thing, but they got to drop it in the show because that's the thing that people come to the table for.
Yeah,
and then they could still put it up on YouTube after.
Yeah.
But they can't be. We said the wrestling landscape, there are so many hours a week of new wrestling that is worth watching. And when you have that much selection, you end up watching nothing sometimes because you just get pounded into oblivion about what to watch.
Yeah.
And you can't have another thing for this. You got it for a new promotion. You got to have like one thing that we need to watch every week, I feel like. And they they don't have that yet. And hopefully it'll just be the TV show, and maybe Being the Elite will quietly go away without people even realizing.
Yeah. Potentially. But, yeah. And I mean, I like Being the Elite. It's very entertaining. But that can't be your only crutch to stand on.
Yeah. What is the best case scenario and worst case scenario for NXT becoming a third major brand of its own? We've already kind of talked about the worst case scenario would be WWE, ECW all over again.
Yeah, that's definitely a worst case scenario, and that they would probably cancel it in about a year.
That's crazy to think about if NXT as a brand suddenly was dead.
Well, a year from now. I think I'm fairly confident that if NXT on cable bombs, that they will just put it back on the network.
But how does it recover from that?
I mean, I hope they could figure out a way, but I'm confident they would, just because it's, regardless of whether or not NXT succeeds on cable, it's clear that it succeeds on the network. Yeah. Like, people are watching NXT, people are watching the takeovers. Takeovers are selling out all the time. Like, it's clear that it's successful to an extent. So, worst case scenario, I think it goes back to the network.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe Vince is just the crazy man and he's like, no, screw it. Done with NXT.
Yeah, that'd be kind of
which would be awful.
And there would just be the Performance Center training people televised shows.
But I think best case scenario for NXT is it fully becomes a third brand. Mm-hmm. It's no longer people thinking, you know, it's the developmental side of WWE. It's fully, it's a third brand on the same par with Raw and SmackDown, in that for like big four pay-per-views and things like that, we're going to start to see some NXT matches headline. If we could see an NXT title match, like main event SummerSlam or Survivor Series or something like that, I think that's the sign that they are on the way.
I guess it is weird to think of a world where an NXT match would be on WrestleMania, because they've done something. They've really kept NXT matches off of the main event cards.
Yeah.
It's lived in a different world.
I think even if they are successful, they're so far away from main eventing WrestleMania. But even having an NXT match on WrestleMania is a huge step.
Yeah. There is already a third WWE brand, or I guess a fifth one as well, and that is 205 Live.
God, there's too much wrestling.
Yeah. Triple H has said, I'm sorry that I'm getting text messages that I'm sure can be heard. Triple H has said that it will appear, that 205 Live wrestlers will start to appear more on NXT programming.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this means that 205 Live will quietly go away? Or what do you think the future for it as a brand and for the wrestlers on it is? Because NXT's got to fill 2 hours now. It certainly seems like it has a big enough roster to do it.
I think they have a big enough roster to do it, but honestly, and I can't say much because, like, I haven't supported 205 Live, but I think 205 Live it's on borrowed time already.
Mm-hmm.
I think it makes sense for them to merge it into NXT. If anything, it gives NXT more stuff to deal with. They'll have a cruiserweight title that they can move around on NXT, which I think would be great for them.
Yeah. Triple H has said that he would not be surprised. I'm butchering his quote now, but he basically said you can see the cruiserweight title defended on NXT takeovers.
Yeah,
I think that's really good for them.
Yeah, absolutely, because it also... hoping that, you know, NXT is going to stay very much the same in its presentation. I think actually giving the cruiserweights chance to really have like 20-30 minute matches is going to be amazing, because right now when the cruiserweight title, when it's not relegated to the pre-show, even gets like 7 minutes on the main card, and that's just not enough time. Yeah.
And then when people who are associated with 205 Live, even if they're not a cruiserweight anymore in theory, then they end up on the pre-show and they bring AJ Styles and the United States title and down with them. That's crazy. We're not going to talk about Clash of Champions, but the fact that that match that they put so much TV time into building up ended up on the pre-show.
Yeah.
Stupid to me. It's making me cough. My big bold prediction for 205 Live is that I think NXT will be successful enough in the ratings as like a show that creates ad revenue while still being cheap to produce.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's going to do well enough that Fox is going to look at USA and be like, why don't we have a second show that's giving us that?
Yeah.
And I feel like they will repurpose 205 Live into a hour long show on FS1. That's my feeling.
Yeah, maybe. Because, I mean, if anything, they're just, you know, stretching those arms out on as many platforms as they can.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's my bold prediction, is that you'll see on some other random night, you'll see a two-hour block that is a in-studio, an FS1 Fox show, or a WWE, like, pro wrestling featured show, then followed by an hour of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Can NXT still be a developmental system while going after this goal of being a third brand? Is it possible to be both of those things simultaneously?
It's going to be real hard, that's for sure. I think they're hoping that NXT can still be a somewhat developmental thing. But I think once NXT does start traveling and goes on the road, I think it's going to cease to be developmental. Mm-hmm. As long as it is still like with the Performance Center and still like affiliated with that, there's going to have like, you know, semblance of being developmental. But once it goes on the road, man, that's it. Like, you're a full, that's a full traveling wrestling organization now. That's no longer developmental, which I think it's going to be good and bad. Good in that the NXT roster is, I think they're going to get a much bigger sense of like, we're doing this now. Like, this isn't, we're no longer, you know, learning how to be WWE wrestlers. We are WWE wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's going to be good. But the downside, I think, the Performance Center, I think itself, is still going to be their developmental, but now the Performance Center is not going to have that outlet to, you know, see if your wrestlers are learning.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely a double-edged sword.
I could see a world in where now and up until today, if you are signed to a developmental contract, you are on the NXT brand. Even if you're not on TV for like 2 years, you're still an NXT member, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I could see a world where now an NXT contract is just like a Raw and SmackDown contract, but you are on NXT. And if you are still technically a developmental wrestler and you're on a developmental contract, your home base is the Performance Center. Most of them still will probably be at NXT tapings most of the time and end up on that brand. But maybe it's like the Sorting Hat in Harry Potter, and maybe you shadow Raw for a few years, and you are like there for taping, you're doing dark matches, you are traveling with all of them and doing their house shows, but you then become a Raw wrestler or a SmackDown wrestler or an NXT UK wrestler. Like, maybe that is the future, is that you kind of are given to a house from the Performance Center. But I don't know if that makes logistical sense, really.
I guess it's the best thing we got right now. So.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Final question then, before we get out of here.
Mm.
Who should be the face of NXT in this first year of being on TV
and
USA Network?
This is my long ass winded answer here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of people are going to be big players. I think that Adam Cole is definitely a shoo-in. He's the NXT champion. He's great on the mic, and that is I think the big key feature here. Now that you're going on cable as a wrestling program, is you need someone good on the mic. You need a John Cena, you need a Rock, a Stone Cold. You need someone who can captivate people without even getting in the ring. And Adam Cole, I think, has that ability. But on that same vein, a guy like Velveteen Dream, He's pretty great on the mic. He has an amazing gimmick. He's charismatic as all hell. I think Velveteen Dream would be really good. Johnny Gargano is... I don't think Johnny Gargano is great on the mic. He's the best in the ring, like,
yeah,
period. But he's not that great on the mic. Tommaso Ciampa is going to be coming back pretty soon. Ciampa is great on both fronts. I think that's he's a guy there too. But then you have to think in the terms of, like, name recognition. I personally, he's not my cup of tea, but a guy like Matt Riddle,
yeah,
already
that's
has
a huge name recognition.
Already has name recognition within the MMA community, so that's something right there.
Shayna Baszler's been a champion for a year and change now.
Yep. Shayna Baszler. I think if I had to pick one, I'd say Adam Cole's your answer. He's the guy. And then again, like, you have to, like, maybe Kevin Owens is coming back down. So, like, there's options.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I like your talking about you have to have your Stone Colds and your Rocks, right? Mm. And I think that there is a playbook to come back to try to get three people who you put into a familiar position and you let, like, we let it see what happens. And I think that they should book, and I think they will book Adam Cole the way that Shawn Michaels was booked in the Attitude Era, where he was the vocal and in-ring segment backbone at the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. Until he broke his back. But, like, he was that person, and you have Shawn Michaels there as the second or third higher up in creative in NXT, and I think that he will be making Adam Cole into Shawn Michaels Part 2. I think that Velveteen Dream will be given the microphone and given the opportunity to sink or swim the way that The Rock did.
Yep.
I think you're right. I think it's a guy who is character first, wrestling second, and it's going to be, can his in-ring wrestling catch up to how good of a character he is, and can he catch fire?
Mm-hmm.
And I think with Johnny Gargano, this is going to sound like a weird person to compare him to, but I think he needs to be NXT's The Undertaker. In the sense that he is someone...
Yeah, that one is weird.
Yeah. He's not physically like him at all, in the slightest. But he is someone who has already been established before this new era of NXT as the heart and soul of the show, right?
Yeah.
And The Undertaker was that during the dark years of WWE before the Attitude Era.
Mm-hmm.
And he may have not been the focus of the Attitude Era, but he was there and was treated as important and made the people around him more important. I think that you have to very quickly establish to new wrestler, to new audience, that even though he is smaller than everybody, that Johnny Gargano is the man coming into this.
Yeah.
And has been. And you have to get everyone on board with that quickly so that he can be used to make everyone else more important.
Yeah.
I think those are the three people that really have to hit for NXT to take off.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, man.
But I have one question for you, and this is honestly the most important question.
Is it,
this,
are you right?
this is a question that was posed to me from my wonderful girlfriend, Sarah, and it's actually, I'm fairly interested in it as well. She wants to know, what do you think's going to happen with the best storyline in wrestling right now of the star-crossed lovers, Adam Cole and Britt Baker, when they are competing head-to-head on cable television?
I thought you were going to say the star-crossed lovers, Maria Kanellis and Rusev.
Oh, that now, crap. No, I'm not giving that the time.
I think it actually, of like all of the competing organizations that have like the most crossover, it is actually between AEW and NXT, where like a lot of the people are friends or have like relationships with each other. I think it's only good for both of them to be on either side of this, and I think that they can make subtle reference. I think both organizations would be dumb to suddenly be referencing the other on air a bunch. And like reacting specifically, like in the back, and again, we'll get into this in the Attitude Era and Monday Night War episode, but like WWF doing the Billionaire Ted skits, where they have sketches that are literally talking about characters on the other show.
Yeah.
Like plainly saying that.
Dumb. I think WWE has learned its lesson that they're not good. They're not going to give AEW the time of day, period.
But they brought him up at the Hall of Fame. And AEW definitely referenced Triple H with the sledgehammer to a throne thing. And
but I think that's gonna be the extent of it.
Yeah.
They're gonna have their subtle little digs that the smartest of wrestling fans may.
That's what I was gonna say.
I'm
totally cool with Britt Baker and Adam Cole being the two people to make those digs at each other, because it will feel more playful and fun than like a legitimate attack on another brand.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they could do it. I think that's probably the only people that should be making those references.
Yeah, definitely.
That I can see.
I agree.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm super excited. NXT is about to debut on Wednesdays. AEW is about to debut on Wednesdays, and you're going to be there.
I'm going to be there. Yeah. Yes, we're going to be there. I am so pumped. I'm so ready. I'm just hoping that like AEW is going to go like balls to the wall on this. It's going to be their first television.
Yeah.
Like, I hope they're pulling out everything. I hope they have some great, you know, surprises in store. I'm just ready. You want any merch, man? I'll get you some merch.
If you see something cool, let me, like, give me some photos and I'll be like, yeah, give me that.
I'll send you some merch. I'm ready.
Yeah. So with that, I feel like we should revisit this a year from now and see how right or wrong we were on all this stuff. But we'll be doing a bit more focus in the near future on the current day wrestling going-ons, just because we are living in history right now.
Yes.
So until next time, we're going to leave you in the words of the immortal William Shakespeare. I'm jumping over plugs. If wrestling be the food of love, fight on.
Bro. That one's not going to stick. I'm not going to keep it.
Yeah,
I was just trying it out.